as with all Fridays, we're going to start with a Dvar Torah on the Parsha. Most Fridays we'll then have Seder and then Shir later, but this week we're going to, right after the Dvar Torah, we'll go right into Shir. This week's Parsha here in Chutz Laretz is Parshas Korach. So Moshe Rabbeinu addresses the great challenge to his authority and to the authority of Aaron HaKohen, and he responds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make everything be known. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to clarify this matter for everybody. V'yedah Hashem es asher lo. Hashem is going to let it be known who belongs to him. V'es HaKadosh v'yikriv elav, and who is holy that he's going to draw close. V'es asher yivchar bo yakriv elav, and whoever is chosen by him. Now, it seems to be somewhat of a repetitive pasuk, meaning what exactly is the difference between Es Asher Lo, Es HaKadosh, and Es Asher Yivchar Bo? Meaning it's all about the winners, right? Meaning the people that are in the right versus the people that are in the wrong. Why do you need three separate phrases to say the same basic idea? But that's not the only repetition that happens in the Parsha. Hashem then makes three miracles to emphasize the point that Moshe and Aaron were in the right, and they in fact have been chosen. First of all, there's a fire that comes down from Shemayim and consumes the people. Second of all, the ground opens up and swallows them alive. And third, the Mata Aaron grows almonds, right? The staff of Aaron grows almonds on it. Now, why would you need three separate miracles, and specifically these miracles? You know, whenever there's a miracle, there's always an assumption that there's a message. There's always an assumption that there's some level of mita keneged mita. There's some type of message that we're supposed to take from the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the miracle. The third miracle is especially perplexing, because as far as miracles go, you know, in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of doing, and how Hashem sometimes flexes his muscles, that is like the smallest flex ever. Meaning that third miracle, that a staff is going to grow almonds on it, that, you know, a wood stick is going to grow flowers and almonds. That happens all the time. It's called a tree. Right? Meaning wood sticks grow things all the time. The only thing that was different about this was that this stick was no longer planted in the ground. It was already detached from the ground. But like, that was it? That was the entirety of the miracle? You ever get flowers for Shabbos? You put it in a vase of water and then they sprout and new things come up? That's not so crazy. Meaning, of all the miracles to have a wood stick that grows almonds seems to be a message, but we have to figure out what the message is. And also, one of the most ironic things about the Machlokas Korach Vadaso is that we view it, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells it, it's the paradigmatic example of a machlokas that shelo l'shem shamayim. That if there was ever a machlokas, it was not l'shem shamayim, it's the machlokas Korach v'Hadasso. If you look at all of the complaints and all of the taimas and all of the misgivings and problems that Moshe Rabbeinu had with Klal Yisrael in their time in the Midbar, this seems to be the most l'shem shamayim thing the Jewish people ever did. Meaning all of their other complaints were like these, it was like Nar Shazach, and it was like these silly little things that, the food we used to eat in Mitzrayim was so much more delicious. We really would love to have meat. We would, you know, that's what they were complaining about for the most part. You know, they're reminiscing about the good days in Mitzrayim, or we're never going to be able to go into the Promised Land because we. Here they're saying that they're interested in Jewish leadership. They're interested in matters that relate to Shemayim. It's the only machlokas that seems to be l'shem Shemayim. They wanted to serve Hashem. They were asking for kahuna. They were asking for something that in fact relates to service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How could this be the one complaint that's the source of strife that is not l'shem shamayim? So again, three questions. What is the meaning of the three different phrases, Es Asher Lo, Es HaKadosh, and Asher Yivchar Bo? And why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did three different miracles? What's the message of each of those miracles, particularly the last one with the stick growing almonds? And number three, why is this an example of machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim? To the contrary, it seems that it's the only thing that the only time the Jewish people complained that actually related to something that's l'shem shamayim. So there's a very nice vart I saw in the Aznaim LaTorah. I think we have an Aznaim LaTorah here in the Bismarck. Rav Zalman Saratskin had the following mahalich, where he develops the idea that there were three distinct groups in Korach's camp, and each of them had a different goal, right? That's why it's Machlokas Korach Va'adaso, not Machlokas Korach Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, because even within their camp, within that group, they weren't all interested in the same thing. There were three different groups within Korach's camp, and each one had a different goal in mind. First, says Rav Zalman Suratzkin, Korach himself was gunning for Aaron's job. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. And his major complaint was, why is Moshe Rabbeinu practicing nepotism over here, and he's giving his brother Aaron the job of the Kohen Gadola? Right? You can't do that. You're supposed to have an open search to fill the position. And Moshe Rabbeinu is just practicing nepotism, and he's giving it to his brother, to Aaron HaKohen. So why would that be okay? And he said, I'm just as qualified. I'm even more qualified. And if that's the case, the role that Korach cherished, the role that Korach wanted, was not to be a melech, it was not to be a king, it was not to be the leader of the people. It wasn't to be Moshe Rabbeinu. It was to be Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen's job was not to be the leader of the people, it was to be the representative of the people. It was to be the person who represents Klal Yisrael in the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to be the face of the people, the one who represents Klal Yisrael. So he says, Kala Am Kulam Kadoshim, they don't need somebody more holy than them, they need somebody who's going to represent them, is going to be the face of Klal Yisrael. Dasan and Aviram were a second group. Dasan and Aviram were not interested in kahuna. They were interested in power. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din melech, and they wanted some of that power. They wanted the political power that comes with being a king. They wanted to separate themselves from the people, to control the people, to be the ones that get to make the laws, to be the ones that have the rules of Morid B'Malchus. You know, for someone to want power that badly represents an obvious flaw in someone's personality. To be power hungry, to be so ungrateful to Moshe Rabbeinu who had earned that position when they in fact had not earned that position. And then there was the rest of Korach's followers, the third group, who were very well aware that they weren't going to receive any special dignified position as Kohen Gadol. They were not going to be the Melech. They had no plans of representing the people. They had no plans of being the leader of the people. They just wanted to become full participants in the Avodas HaLevim. Why should only the Levim serve such a critical role in the Mishkan? Shouldn't we all serve a critical role in the Mishkan? When we made the Taina Taparo, it was Benurenu Bezakeinenu Nelech. We said that we all want to go, that everyone's got to go to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he said, why is it that only the Levim are the ones that have the Avodah on this level? We should all be able to have the Avodah on this level. So says Rav Zalman Suratzkin, that's the three-pronged response, both in the language that Moshe Rabbeinu uses and in the miracles that Kadosh Baruch Hu performs. Let's follow it through one by one. Korach wanted to be Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be the representative of the people, but not because he felt that the people needed representation and that the role wasn't being filled. No, Aaron was doing a fine job. He had no specific complaint about what Aaron was doing wrong. It wasn't that, you know, like when you have a political campaign where someone is running for president and he says, oh, the country's a disaster now because this president is in charge and he's doing things wrong, he's doing things inappropriately, he's, going to pacify Iran or whatever, this, that, or the other. It wasn't any complaint about what Aaron was doing. It was just that I want to be the person that represents the people. And why should it be Aaron? He was saying he knows the people are fine under Aaron's stewardship, but he wants to be the person of great influence. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you got to bring the Ketores. And Ketores represents the Achdus of different kinds of Jews, because you have all these different Samanei HaKetores. And Hashem will let everybody know, Es HaKadosh, who gets the Kedushas Kohuna. So Korach stands there with his Ketores in an attempt to represent the people, and Hashem shows what's wrong with his Cheshbon. He's going through the motions of holding the Ketores and acting as a representative of the people. The Ketores represents the vastness of Klal Yisrael, the Tzadikim, the Rashaim, and everybody in between, but his real intention is not about the people, it's not about the Ketores. His real intention is about himself. It's in his own self-interest. So Hashem brings a fire min Hashemayim, and instead of it consuming the Ketores, it consumes the people, because they aren't really focused on what the Ketores represents. They're focused on themselves. And if you're focused on yourself, well, then that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put the focus as well. Dasan and Aviram, they wanted Malchus. They didn't want to be part of the people. They wanted to control the people. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, we'll see. Es Asher Lo. Who gets to be the lieutenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, meaning the one who the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. So who gets to be the second in command, so to speak? Who gets to be the one that works for the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's the Melech over the people. The job of king is a funny job because it looks like a really cushy job. It looks like a really wonderful job that everyone would want. It's like when a little child sees his parents and he thinks, "Oh, I wish I was a mommy and a tati, because then I could buy whatever I want and I can have chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I can do whatever I want and go to sleep whenever I want, and I don't have any rules." So it's obviously a fundamental misunderstanding of what parenthood means. You know, you have that with kids in camp also. You know, they look at the counselor like, "Oh, if I was a counselor, then I would let the kids do whatever they want. I wouldn't have a problem with the entire Cub division waking up at 5 a.m. and, playing baseball on the lawn. I would be, I came to the baseball this morning, the whole Cub division was playing baseball on the lawn at 5 a.m. It was unbelievable. So I would be totally, totally fine. And there was one deer just like walking around like, "What are these kids doing? This is my time." They think like, "Oh, that's the best job ever. I would love to be that," but they don't realize that it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what Malchus is, the level of achrayus. The level of achrayus that a person has, the pressure that a person has, the interest that a person has to have in those who are in his charge, and to make sure that they are developing properly and that they're being treated properly and that everything is running properly, is a tremendous achrayus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning most often, if a melech's interest is, "I want to rule over the entire land," right? A melech is someone who's viewed as the owner of the entire country. That's one of the Rishonim explains, that's what Dina d'Malchus HaDina is based on. That the concept of Dina d'Malchus HaDina is, you live in my house, you follow my rules. And the melech is the one whose house the country is, that he owns the whole place. So that's the way, if people view it that way, that I want to own the land, they're in for a rude awakening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu symbolically has the land swallow them up, indicating that the land controls the king. It's not vice versa. That the king doesn't control the land. The land controls the king. The people who live on that land are the ones who ultimately create a tremendous sense of achrayus for the king. Meaning the kids look at it like, these counselors have such a great job. The whole purpose of the camp is for the kids, it's not for the counselors, right? I mean, that's why the camp exists. And the same is true in the family unit. You know, the mommy and daddy are so lucky. The whole purpose of the family unit is to be able to create and develop the next generation. It's all about the kids. It's always all about the kids, right? That's what it's all for. And then finally, the people who are interested in Avodas Halevi'im were told that Hashem is going to reveal Asher Yivchar Bo, who is chosen from amongst their peers to do the Avodas Halevi'im. And that taina seems to be the most reasonable of the three. They didn't want to represent the people. They didn't want to be the king over the people. They just wanted to serve Hashem like the best of the people get to do. So Hashem shows them several sticks, all of which look the same, all of which at one point, when they were still attached to the ground, could have produced fruit. And that represents productivity, religious fulfillment, the fruit that's produced. But once you remove it from the ground, once it's taken out in public and detached from its original location, then only one is still able to produce fruit. Only the Mata Aron is still able to accomplish anything. Hashem acknowledges through that miracle that Ein Hachinami, we can all contribute to Avodas Hashem with equal effectiveness and impact, but not by all playing the same role. The Levim, only the Levim, can be separated from the people, live in the Mishkan, do their thing, and produce fruits of Avodas Hashem while in that ivory tower of the Mishkan. The rest of us have to settle for meaningful Avodas Hashem within society, and we play a critical role. There's no society where if everybody is Shevet Levi. We should be comfortable with that, because we're in it to serve Hashem. We're not in it for our own interests. But what's the common thread that runs through this Chut HaMeshulash of errors that were made by Korach and by Dasan Aviram and by all the people that followed him? It's one common thread. They all view Avodas Hashem from a selfish perspective. Now, where's my opportunity? Meaning Avodas Hashem, Avoda of any king, but certainly Avodas Hashem, is always about, should always be about, what does Hashem want? What's going to be the best way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam? Not what's the best way that I can make a name for myself in being an Eved Hashem. they're not worried about a king who can best lead a Kohen Gadol, who can best represent a Levi, who can best serve. They're worried about, how can I be the one who is the king who can best lead? How can I be the one who is the Kohen Gadol that represents the people? How can I be the one who is the Levi? They're worried about satisfying their own thirst for influence. You know, it's a common machla in our generation. We have such a thing called an influencer. A social media influencer or whatever, just stop, an influencer. What is an influencer? So I know by Chabad they have there's such a position called the Mashpia, but hopefully the Mashpia aren't the ones that are calling themselves the Mashpia. Meaning, it's not about, when a person has a goal to be an influencer, that's backwards. There's something krum about that. The goal is never that I want to be an influencer. The goal is I would like to have a positive hashva. I'd like the world to be a better place because I was in it than be a worse place. Meaning, lemashal, you have a parent. So when a parent has a child, do they say, wow, I want to be a parenting expert? No, I want my kid to be well adjusted. I want my kid to maximize his potential. Whether that makes me a parenting expert and people are going to look at me and say, wow, that's a great parent, that's totally irrelevant. I don't care what people think of me as a parent. I just want my kid to do well. I just want my kid to succeed. When Rebbe has a Talmud, if the goal is I want to be known as a great Rebbe, then I want to be the Mashpia. Then you're not going to be successful. No, you're not going to be successful. There's a krumkeit in that. There's something fundamentally wrong with that. The way to be successful is by figuring out what is best for the Talmidim. What is best? You have this a lot of times with the people your age, with younger people that are, that are in their first time in their position where they're the mashpia rather than the mushpa. It's like this in many of the programs in NCSY Kol, other places where like there are a lot of madrichim that they're a madrich for the first time, so they want to be the best madrich. That's not what it's about. It's not about being the. If there are kids that are there with you for the summer that can be better. For the relationship that they have with you. So what is the way that they can be best, that they can do best because of the relationship that they have with you? It sounds like a subtle difference between influencing them versus being an influencer, but it's a world of difference between a person who focuses on how can I be known as or become the one who is influencing. I've seen throughout my life that those who are focused on being the influencer, on being the best Rebbe in the school, or those are never the ones that are actually the influencer. Those are never the ones that are actually the best Rebbe. Those are never the ones. Those who are interested in, or who are actually the best parents, for that matter, right? Because if they're always interested in being the best parents as opposed to making sure that their kid is okay, a lot of times they become helicopter parents and they start doing things that are overly heavy-handed and things of that nature. So always the goal has to be if we're in a position where there are people that are put in our charge, so to speak, it's always got to be about them. It's always got to be about how they're going to develop and they're going to grow. Okay.